Hello, and welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for this message. For more information on Celebration Church or to give online, visit us at celebrationedmonton.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
You remember the teacher's pet in school? You remember the teacher's pet in school? If you don't remember the teacher's pet in school, you probably were the teacher's pet. But man, I remember the teacher's pet in school. They could get whatever they wanted. They always had the best grades, and they were always getting all the favor. They were always called upon. You know, they always got to, I remember this, this is weird, but in junior high, they always got to erase the whiteboard. I was like, I want to erase the whiteboard. For some reason, that was like a big deal, but the teacher's pet always got to erase the whiteboard. Why would they get whatever they wanted? Because they were obedient. They would do what the teacher trusted them enough because they were so obedient. And I believe that obedience brings blessing. Right. Obedience brings blessing. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I know what you're thinking. The pastor is away. It's summer. We should be talking about fun stuff, not obedience. You're supposed to be the youth guy. You're supposed to just entertain me this entire time. I apologize. We're going to talk about obedience this morning. You were like, oh, I thought you were going to be like, the three reasons I don't have to pay my taxes. Like, let's do that sermon. Sorry. Not today. But is anyone out here naturally a rule follower? Any people that you're like, if there's rules, I need to follow them. Yeah, my wife is like that. Okay, so we have some people in the room. How about anyone here, man, if there's rules, you want to break them? Okay, especially if a security guard tells you those rules. You're like, if a security guard, like, what are they going to do? They're just a security guard. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I am. I totally like, I love breaking the rule. I love the rush of breaking the rules. And it's so fun. And naturally, for me, naturally obeying the rules, it doesn't happen. It doesn't come naturally. And I've realized as I got older that breaking the rules means paying the price. Yeah. So if you don't pay attention, you fail school. If you speed, you pay the tickets. And when you register your car, you don't actually pay them on time. Just when you go to register your car, it's like $1,000. You know, and as adults, we understand the concept of cause and effect, break the rules, pay the price. Yet I think we still have a hard time fully obeying God and what he asks us to do. And like a lot of you, like I said, obedience just doesn't really come natural to me. It's something I have to work at. In fact, I think the only thing that comes natural to me is making jokes. It's literally, I was thinking about it this week, and it's like, it doesn't matter what situation I'm in, I just feel like I have to make jokes. When I get in a troubled situation, I was in a situation recently where it could have been potentially traumatic. I didn't know how to help anyone. I didn't know what to do to fix the situation. I just wanted to make jokes. And I found something online that perfectly describes me. Problems, solutions, and normal brain, my brain, problems, jokes. And so obedience does not come natural to me. And even though it's not always, okay, you can take it down, it's fine. Even though it's not always our natural response, obedience is so important. Yeah. I'm going to read a really long story out of the Bible this morning. It's going to take me probably at least 4 minutes. I'm a slow reader, but it's a big one, so buckle up. It's out of 1 Kings 17, 1 through 24. Now Elijah, who is from Tishbe in Galilee, told King Ahab, "As surely as the Lord God of Israel lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word." Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go to the east and hide by the Kereth Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Because if you tell everyone you're taking their water away, you need to go and hide." And it says, "Drink from the brook and eat whatever the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food." So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside the Kereth Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up. There was no rainfall anywhere in the land. So he obeys God, and sure enough, there's no rainfall. Things ain't going so good. Then the Lord said to Elijah, okay, so the brook's dried up. So the Lord says, "Go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. And I have instructed a widow there to feed you." So he takes a step of faith. He's like, okay, these birds are bringing me food every day. Life's pretty good. But instead, I'll go to this wherever you're telling me. God, I'll just be obedient. So Elijah went to Zarephath. And as he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks. and he asked her, "Would you please bring me a little cup of water?" As she was going to get it, he called her, "Bring me a bite of bread too." But she said, "I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I only have a handful of flour in a jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, then my son and I will die." This lady's very matter of fact. "I want to eat my bread, I'm gonna die. Like, that's just how, that's my plans in life right now. Like, that's what my schedule looks like." But Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare for yourself and your son, for this is what the Lord of God, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers." So this woman ends up being obedient. And at this point in the story, most people would have been like, "No, I'm going to make my croissants and die. Like, no, you're not taking, I got 4 croissants I can make, and I'm not giving you one of them." People would have said, "Forget you." But look at the obedience of this woman. "So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Sometime later, the woman's son became sick, and he grew worse and worse, and he finally died. And then she said to Elijah, 'O man of God, what have you done to me? Have you come here to point out my sins and kill my son?'" See, following the death of her husband, a widow back in those days, their best chance for survival was through their son. Okay, so this was an even way bigger tragedy, because now this woman has lost her husband. Now her son dies. But Elijah replied, "Give me your son." And then he took the child's body from her arms and carried him up the stairs to the room where he was staying. He laid his body on the bed, and then Elijah cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, why have you brought this tragedy to this widow who has opened her home to me, causing her son to die?" And he stretched out himself over the child 3 times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, please let this child's life return to him." And the Lord heard Elijah's prayer, and the life of the child was returned, and he revived. Then Elijah brought him down from the upper room and gave him to his mother. "Look," he said, "your son is alive." And then the woman told Elijah, "Now I know for sure that you're a man of God and the Lord truly speaks through you." See, God provided for this woman over and over with flour and olive oil constantly. But it wasn't until she went through this tough season with losing her son and realizing how good God was that she really knew that, okay, this is God. And something I noticed from this story, as I read it over and over and over as I worked on this message this week. And something I noticed from it is, what do we know about the boy? We don't know much. One thing we do know is that he eats a lot of bread, because that's all he has. And then he becomes sick. So my guess is this boy had a gluten intolerance, and that is what he died from. But that's just a side note that I noticed in this story. This poor kid trying to go gluten-free ends up dying, because this is all he has. Elijah has a choice, though. Listen to God and potentially get well taken care of by this widow, or stay where he was, even though the brook had dried up, even though he's going through a bit of a tough season, at least he knew that there was food coming there. And this woman also had a choice. You know, obey God and listen to Elijah and hope that he's faithful, hope that more flour, more oil comes, or follow her flesh. What did her flesh say? Her flesh said, "I'm gonna eat my buns and I'm gonna die." Like, that's it. Like, I am out. I am, this is it. This is the end for me. See, following our flesh always is the road that leads to mediocrity. Following our flesh is the road that leads to mediocrity. And unfortunately, I feel like this is a place that many people live their entire Christian life. It leaves us in a bit of a dry season with God because we're not willing to take the step of faith that obedience is and follow what he's telling us to do. This morning, I'm gonna go through, with the 23 minutes and 5 seconds I have left, I'm gonna go through the 5 things obedience will do for your life. The 5 things that obedience will do from your life and mine, for your life and mine. Number 1, obedience gets us through dry seasons with God. Obedience, just like what happened with this woman and Elijah, obedience gets us through dry seasons with God. Have you ever experienced what they call dry mouth? Where you kind of like, it happens when you're thirsty. And actually, the moment you lose 1% of your body's water, you begin to feel thirsty. And it starts, a lot of times, with dry mouth. That feeling, I need some water. I'm actually giving myself dry mouth as I do that. But in your life and mine, I feel like there are times where we go through spiritual dry mouth, where your Bible reading is kind of, and your prayer life, you know, you're just kind of, like, you're kind of feeling that way. And maybe you're sitting in Connect Group and you're starting to zone out. It's kind of, or maybe you're just like, I'm going to take this semester off Connect Group. I'm not feeling it right now. You're just kind of going through this times. And we know what physical thirst is like, especially in this weather. We know what physical thirst looks like. But I think the more dangerous place for our lives to be at is spiritual thirst. Spiritual thirst. And in a spiritual dry place, we end up forgetting our purpose. We end up not reaching anyone. And a lot of times we end up being counterproductive to what God is trying to do because we're going through a spiritual dry season. See, we all go through these times. And what happens a lot of times is we're not receiving any blessing from God and we're in a constant dry season and we don't even realize it. See, spiritual dry seasons usually lead us to make emotional decisions that cause us to compromise our character. Spiritual dry seasons lead us to make emotional decisions that compromise our character. You ever make a decision and look back and go, why did I do that? I'm an idiot. I do that probably every 12 hours. But, you know, we make those decisions because a lot of times we're going through dry seasons because we're not seeking God enough, because we're not in his word enough, because we're not feeling God enough. And the more regularly you drink water, the quicker you realize when you're thirsty. My wife is a huge water drinker. She, like those Contigo things, she's like crushing them all the time. She's always thirsty. I feel like I'm never thirsty because I never have enough water in me. But the more regularly you drink water, the quicker you realize when you're thirsty. But if you're constantly dehydrated, you can't always tell when you're thirsty. And if you're dehydrated, you don't even realize it a lot of times. And I think that's what happens with our spirit. You know, the closer you get to God, the more you're in his word. When you start to drift off and go into a little bit of a dry season, the quicker you're like, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. But if you're constantly in that dry season, you don't realize how much you miss it. And church will do it. And a little bit of podcast here, a little bit of Bible reading there will do it for you. But it needs to be more than that. The more you get into it, the more you realize when you start to drift away, I need this. Once you've experienced real hydration, you never want to go back. Your body adjusts to how things should be. And this happens in our spirit. Once we've made a real breakthrough in our spirit, it adjusts to how things should be. And there's a constant desire for it. See, imagine how this woman's faith must have been after her season of obedience. If he always kept bread on my table, if he brought my son back to life, man, I know that my God can do anything. But she had to go through this dry season and obey God through that in order to have her faith this strong. Going through a season where you have to trust in God, I believe, is a vital part of your Christianity. Going through a season, taking steps of faith where you have to trust in God, is a vital part of our Christianity. And I believe it helps you know how good God is. It really does help you know how good God is and experiencing how faithful he really is. Going through a season where all you can do is trust in him. Obedience gets us through dry seasons with God. Number two this morning is obedience helps our character live up to our calling. Obedience helps our character live up to our calling. See, many people's character doesn't match their calling. And God wants to do crazy, amazing things. You have crazy potential. There's so many people in this world with insane potential. God wants you to do some amazing things. But your character doesn't live up to the calling he has on your life, and it holds you back for the plan that God has on your life. See, going along with this whole teacher's pet thing, does anyone remember the hallway pass? Do they still do that in school? Can anyone confirm that? No? Yes? They do. Okay. So there's the hallway pass in school. And you had to get this, whatever it was. Sometimes it was a stick. Sometimes it was a sign. Sometimes it was a badge. I remember a badge at one point we had. You had to clip the badge onto your chest in order to go to the washroom. But that hallway pass, as you showed the teacher what your character was like, was either easier or harder to get, right? So the teacher's pet, anytime they wanted that hallway pass, it didn't really matter what they were going to do. They roll up, hey, I got to go to the washroom. The teacher's like, oh, yeah, this is my boy. Clips the pass on him, sends him down the hallway. But for the students with not such great character like myself, if you wanted that hallway pass, like if you showed yourself to be unfaithful with that one time, the drama you would have to put on, like the production you would have to do in order to get the hallway pass. I remember, like, if I wanted that thing, I'd have to be like, oh, I got it. Oh my gosh, it's every end. It's coming. The things I would have to do to get that hallway pass because I showed that I wasn't faithful, that my character wasn't good enough to get that pass. I think sometimes that happens with God. And I don't think it's in a religious way where God's saying, okay, if you tithe for 6 to 10 months, I'm going to trust you. Or, if you go out and you go on the street and you hand out food to people that are living on the street, okay, then I'll trust you. You got to do that 200 times. And then, you know, I trust you enough. I don't think it's a religious way where we have to do good in order for God to trust us. I just think that, I know that we receive God's forgiveness right away as Christians. And there's so many blessings that God wants to give us. But I believe as we prove ourselves faithful to God with whatever we're given, God can grow our blessings more and more. And God can trust us more and more. And as we show him, God, you can trust me with this thing, with this situation, with this, you know, then he says, yeah, I can trust you. Look what you did with that. I can trust you. And Luke 16:10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. And I just believe that that's a lot of times our character doesn't live up to what God wants us to do. And we have dreams and visions in our hearts and things we want to see happening and they're not happening. And God's going, yeah, I need your character. I need you to prove yourself first with the little things I've given you first. The calling on all of our lives is huge and we decide what happens with it. Sometimes we look at successful people and naturally, you know, we're envious or we're jealous or we say things like, oh my gosh, they're so lucky. I just haven't had the opportunities that they have had. But the difference is what they did with the little bit they had at first. Because so many of us started on that same level, on that same field. Sometimes I look at people, you know, from school that I went to school with and I go, how the heck are they there? Like we were in the same, you know, we were both really bad marks in school. We were both at that same level. But what happened was the difference that they made with the little bit that they were given. God can continue to trust people. And obedience helps our character live up to our calling. Number three is obedience takes me from critical to miracle. Obedience takes me from critical to miracle. Anybody in here a parent of a toddler? Anybody? It's okay, you can admit it. Someday it's gonna happen to me. I know you're going through tough times, we're praying for you. What happens when you're trying to discipline a toddler and they're being disobedient? You know, when a toddler starts, or even, maybe it's older kids, I don't know, I don't have that much experience yet, but when you're trying to discipline your kids, I even did this as a teenager. What happens when they're being disobedient? They're critical of you. This is stupid! This is dumb! No! They're critical when they're being disobedient. I think that happens with us as well. When we're disobedient, we end up being critical of things. This actually happened to me this week. Okay, they don't trust me enough. The church as an organization doesn't trust me enough to just write a sermon and come up and preach it in front of people. It has to go through a filter and a process first, thank God. And because I'm such a big Harry Potter fan, I think they're worried about witchcraft and wizardry getting in there or something, I'm not sure. But no, I'm just kidding. People are like, whoa, this got real. But it has to go through a filter first. And there's people that have to look at what I write before I preach it in front of people, thank God. And this week, I was supposed to submit it on Wednesday. But I was like, man, I gotta grind out a little bit more. I just got a few more edits to do. So I submitted it Thursday morning. I was a little bit late on submitting my sermon, but I really felt like I got it. Man, somebody, like, people are gonna walk out of here like, oh, it's amazing. I just really felt like it was there. And when I got the review back, when I got the edits back, first of all, there was a lot of red writing, which is the edits. And so I'm going through this, oh, this is a lot of red. And going through things. And then at the end, there was a little remark that said, this sermon seems underdeveloped. And I was like, what? Like, as I read the word underdeveloped, I'm like, I immediately turned critical. Are you kidding me? You don't know the hours and the money I've spent on coffee working on this sermon. You do not know. This is not underdeveloped. I immediately went to critical. Just like your kid. That's stupid. I'm not going to my room. Give me my iPad back. You're dumb. I remember being like that as a kid, praying for your parents. But disobedience, man, it turns us critical. Disobedience to God turns us critical at times, and it happens when we're critical of leaders or critical of, you know, different things going on. It's because a lot of times we're in a season of disobedience, and we become critical through that. And, you know, I could have been critical. I could have stayed critical, but I just decided, you know what? I am preaching on obedience. Maybe I should try that. And I believe that going from critical, switching off critical, someone's going to get their miracle. And I just believe that happens in our lives. You see, God needs the story from your victory. God needs the story from your victory. And there are times in life when we have the incredible opportunity to just fully trust in God and obey him, even though we really don't want to. And there's such a beauty in that. And there are times where a lot of times we're believing for a miracle and God just wants us to be disobedient. Give me a second here. Let's bring that back, and let's put that back in my mouth, and let's say that again. There are times in life where we're believing for a miracle, and God just wants us to be obedient. And I just believe that that happens to people, that, you know, we're critical of situations, and we're like, God, I need a breakthrough here. And God's like, man, I just need you to be obedient. I'm trying to teach you a lesson here, and you're not getting it. You just keep praying for a miracle, and that's not what I want to do. You're asking for a miracle, but that's not what I'm trying to do in your life. And God's saying, why would I give you $20,000? You're just going to go back to the place where you started. You know, you've dug yourself into this hole. Now it's time for you to work your way out and learn so that you never get back to that place. Or you're saying, oh God, why am I not surrounded by good people? Why do I have these bad friends? Well, you don't need a miracle of just having all these new friends in your life. You just need to work on being a better person yourself. You know, there's things like that. There's, you know, even in parenting, you're going, God, why won't this kid, you know, obey God? Why won't these kids change? They're nuts. They just need to grow up. And it's like, no, maybe as a parent, we need to grow up. Maybe we need to seek some wise counsel. Maybe we need to realize that there's curriculum, there's things for us that we just need to be obedient. We need to work at it, and the miracle is coming. Stop being critical of your situation and believe that a miracle is on the way through you working at it. And I just believe that sometimes we create bad circumstances and expect prayer and miracles to fix these things, but God's given us guidelines and we just need to obey them. And obedience builds our character. Obedience builds our patience, and obedience brings blessing. The same with this woman. Because of her obedience, there came more and more blessing. There was always flour. There was always oil. And she had to get out of this dry season and just keep trusting in God. Just keep trusting in God. And Elijah, God's saying, why keep eating from these birds? You know, if you're obedient to me, there's bread waiting at the next town. Yeah. It's coming. But you need to be obedient enough to walk away from this situation where you feel like you're getting something out of it, but God has something more for you. Right. Like, why keep sitting by a dry creek eating Costco samples when there's Olive Garden breadsticks in the town over? You know what I'm saying? Why keep... You know what kind of people I love and respect, and I wish I could be like? This is just a side note. the type of people that can walk around Costco and just grab the sample and not even act interested in the product. I watch these people, I'm like, I wish I had that boldness. I wish I had the courage. Because they just roll up, they grab the sample, they don't even act interested and go on. Now, I can do that when there's a crowd and I can sneak through, get my piece, and go. And they're just like, you know why I'm here. They grab the sample, they walk on. But me, I'm like, if it's just me and the sample person, like, I don't have the boldness and the courage to walk up and grab it. I'm like, oh, what's this? Hello. And I grab it. Oh, that's nice. I'm sensing a fruity afternote. I like how the heat hits you, you know, in the back of the throat. You know, like, where do you keep this? Oh, that's thank you so much for doing your job today. But really, it's like, you know why I'm here, man. I'm just rolling around getting free samples, man. I just have a respect for those bold people who just roll up and do that. But where were we? Obedience takes me from critical to miracle. Number four. Obedience takes me from no control to full control. Let me explain this. Obedience takes me from no control to full control. What I can do, I will do through my obedience to him. What I can do, I will do through my obedience to him. When we can't control situations, maybe it's our health. Maybe it's an opportunity. Maybe it's a relationship that got messed up and you've done everything you possibly can do to try and fix it, and now it's in someone else's control to come back. When we have no control, our obedience to God puts God in control. Right. When we have no control, our obedience puts God in control. And you're saying, I can't change this situation. There's nothing I can do about it. Yeah, you can. You can have faith. You can love Jesus no matter what. You can look to him no matter what. You can through obeying authority. Like, that's just the reality sometimes, that there's just somebody that we need to listen to that we don't really want to. But it's biblical. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And in Psalms 55, verse 22, it says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. I love this verse. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He'll never allow the righteous to be shaken. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Don't worry, these people aren't offended. They're just coming up to get on stage. But I want to talk to you about how this message has worked in my life. I want to talk to you about how this message has worked in my life this morning, if I can just be really real. When my wife and I first started trying to get pregnant, it didn't happen right away. And it wasn't a situation like, man, we've heard some crazy stories of people believing God for 10 years and going to specialists and having everybody tell them no, and different stories like that where people have had to have incredible faith. But for me, just right off the bat, it just wasn't happening like I thought it would. It took some time. And I started to think, there's something wrong with me. And I started to kind of let these things creep in. I started to kind of be a little bit critical even of myself and just start to feel this kind of shame from my past and guilt from my past and say that, oh man, I think that God doesn't trust me. I think that in this area, God's closed the door. And that's genuinely how I started to feel, like this isn't gonna happen for me because of things that I've done. And I went to someone and kind of shared about what I was going through with them, somebody that I trusted, and they prayed for me. And I just felt after that moment that I just gotta start being obedient to God and doing what his word says and just believing that this is gonna happen. I just started showing God that, man, you can trust me. Like, look at how good of an uncle I am. You know what I mean? Like, look at, you know, I just started thanking God. I just started thanking God that baby's on the way. I just started thanking God every day. Hey God, I just thank you. I'm gonna be a parent very soon. I don't know when, it's your timing, but I just gave it to God and kept being obedient to him. And I'm so thankful that today we have a little baby boy because of it. But yeah, it's awesome. It's great. And it wasn't like some crazy, huge, drawn out, dramatic thing, but it was just those feelings that crept in that I just felt like because of my past, this isn't gonna happen for me. But I just started believing, hey God, I know that I'm going to just keep being obedient to you no matter what. I just want to be the teacher's pet as much as possible. Show God you can trust me. I want to show him that he can trust me no matter what. That no matter what comes my way, I can handle it. No matter what comes my way, I can still be faithful. I can still love him no matter what. And that's just what this sermon is all about. Just showing God that, hey, you can trust me. The things I'm believing for, you can trust me with. The things you want to do in my life, you can trust me. I'm just going to ask you to stand this morning. Really quick. Point number five this morning is obedience builds our faith. Obedience builds our faith. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious. Look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." As we are obedient, we see God move. And as we see God move, it builds our faith. Let's go back to that verse. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers. And I just believe that, I don't know exactly what that means for you today, but you need to grab that. Whether it's healing that you're believing for, whether it's finances, whether it's a restored relationship, maybe it's just energy, maybe you just feel drained, maybe you just need an opportunity. You feel like you need an opportunity and it's not coming your way. Maybe it's just being obedient in the steps that God's asking you to take and getting water baptized, which you can learn about in our Next Steps class right after this. Shameless plug, hashtag. Like, but I just believe that there are things that we need to take steps in faith in, that God's saying, hey, I need you to step out in faith. Because right now you're eating out of a bird's mouth and somebody's gonna bake you some fresh bread if you would just take this step, if you would just go the distance. And I know that means different things for different people today, but I just wanna pray for you as we end this sermon. We could all just bow our heads, close our eyes. Man, there will always be flour and oil left in your containers. God, I just thank you that there's people here today, Lord God, that, God, we need to believe that you have something better for us than the current life we have. Maybe things aren't bad, but they're not where you want them to be. And God, that we're comfortable right now, and God, you want us to be uncomfortable. You want us to take some steps to change. And God, I just thank you that today we would take that step. Whether it's water baptism, maybe it's starting to tithe, maybe it's starting to serve you, maybe it's starting some business that you've been thinking about starting for a long time, but maybe you didn't feel ready. I just feel like there's someone in here today that there's a business, there's something financial that they want to start that they've been holding off because they've been insecure about it, they've been worried about it, and I just think that God's saying today that, man, you be obedient to me, you honor me with that, you honor me with your finances, trust me, you're going to be successful. God, I just thank you that no matter where we're at today, Lord God, that we fix our eyes on you and just know that, God, we want to be your teacher's pet. We want to show you that you can trust us as we are obedient and faithful with what you give us. And before we close today, I just know that there are people in this room that maybe, you can keep your heads bowed if you want, but there are people in this room today that you have not trusted God with your heart yet. You've been holding back because maybe you feel like unsure. Maybe you feel like there's things that you got to change first. Maybe you feel like I'm just not ready, but it's coming. And I just believe that God says that today is your day to make the decision to live for him for the rest of your life. And I know there's people in this room that maybe haven't prayed the prayer yet to give your heart to Jesus, to give your life to God. And if you're in this room today and you want to make a decision to live for him, to give him your heart for the rest of your life, if you want to do that today, I would love to pray with you to make that decision. If everyone could just bow their heads, close their eyes. And if you want to pray that prayer with me today, we're going to pray together. You can just lift your hand right now so I can see who I'm praying with. Awesome. There's hands all over this room. That's awesome. Hands all over this room. You can put your hand down. And I would just ask that everybody pray in agreement together with these people that are making the best decision they could ever make in their life today. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that you forgive me as I am. I come to you today. I give you my heart. I'm living for you from now on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give it up.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're always encouraged to hear about what God is doing in your life, so if you have a story to share, send us an email at amen@celebrationedmonton.com. If you'd like more information about Celebration Church, or if you'd like to give online, check out celebrationedmonton.com.